We read from the book of Joel a moment ago. In the verses that we read, God had gathered the heathen in the valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment. He said their wickedness was great. And once they've gathered, he says there in verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, the folks that God has gathered there aren't there to make decisions. They are there because of the decisions they've already made. They are facing judgment from God, again, for the decisions that they have made in the past. And again, this is a prophetical scripture that talks about the judgment that will come on those folks that have rejected Christ as their Savior. This morning I preach on the subject, the valley of decision, because verse 14 not only talks about those people that are there awaiting judgment because of the decisions they've made, but it talks about the multitudes that are in the valley of decision today. All of us today, because we're still alive, we're still breathing, we're still walking the face of God's earth, are in the valley of decision. We are still in that place where we are making decisions every day about our life. Again, you made some decisions this morning already. You may not have realized it, but you've made some decisions already this morning. You decided to come to church this morning instead of staying home. You made that decision. You're here. We had the offering. You made the decision if you were going to be obedient to God in your tithes or offerings or not. You made that decision. As we talked about in Sunday school, every day we make the decision whether we're going to serve the Lord or not. Salvation is a one-time decision. We make it, and the Lord saves us by his mercy and his grace. But the decision to serve him is one that we need to make every day. We decide whether we're going to surrender as we make that decision to serve him, if we're going to surrender our will to his. Are we going to want our own way, decide to have our own way, or are we going to decide to let God have his way? And I want to mention to you this morning, as by way of introduction, there's no such thing as a small decision. No such thing. Every decision that we make is important. And that's why God tells us we ought to pray about every decision we make. Because every decision we make is important. It may be a decision about something small, but that decision will influence our next decision, which may be a decision about something a little bit bigger. And that decision, again, may seem relatively small to compare to other ones we might be called upon to make, but that decision will affect the next one, which may be a little bit bigger. So every decision is important because even the little ones affect the big ones, and the big decisions affect the course of our lives, and the course of our lives affect the course of others. No man lives to himself. No person lives to himself. Every decision that you and I make not only affects our life, but it affects the lives of others that live around us. Let me give you a few examples. Adam, not Adam our song leader, but Adam in the book of Genesis made a decision. It wasn't a very big one. You might call it a simple decision. He decided to disobey a simple command. God had said, hey, I put you in this garden, I've given you everything to eat, all the trees you can eat, the fruit thereof, you can have as much as you want, but this one tree in the center of the garden, I don't want you to eat of it. Just do not eat the fruit, because the day that you eat the fruit, you will die. Now, again, a little decision, just to disobey one command of God, just one command. I mean, he didn't commit murder. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't do any of the quote-unquote big sins that people talk about today. He was just disobedient in one little command. But notice what that decision cost him and cost those around him. It wrecked his life. It got him kicked out of the place that he was living. He was living in the Garden of Eden. He was walking in fellowship with God. And when Adam made that decision to disobey that command of God, God had to kick him out of the garden. He had to break the fellowship that he had with Adam. It eventually affected his two sons. I mean, Cain got jealous of Abel and rose up and killed his brother. Adam's decision to break that one little command of God resulted in the ground being cursed. It resulted in pain in childbearing. In fact, Adam's decision affected the whole human race, because it says in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, we read this book. In this book, God describes for us and details for us how he wants us to live our life. And there are commands and there are principles in this book that we'd be a whole lot better off if we just listened to and obey. But we can make a decision. And we don't have to reject the whole Bible. We can read something over here in the Bible that God has put in there for us, and we can say, well, in that particular case, I think I know more than God. And so in this particular case, I'm not going to ignore the whole Bible, but I'm going to ignore that one little thing that doesn't seem very important to me. I'm going to ignore that command. Simple decision. But again, there are no little decisions. If we ignore any part of the Word of God, we are treading on dangerous ground. If we ignore just one command in this book, we are bringing perhaps the wrath of God on us, and it may change our whole life just because we've decided to disobey one of these commands. That's why the Bible is not a smorgasbord book. That's why the Bible needs to be taken in its entirety. That's why the Bible, when God reveals something to us about something in it, we need to be obedient to it. Pardon me. We need to be obedient to it because we don't know where it's going to lead. There's no little decisions. I may take one command, one principle, and say, well, I don't think this applies to me. I don't think it applies to my life. If it didn't apply to my life, God wouldn't have put it in there. Everything that's in this book is for our edification. Everything that's in this book is for our good. You don't get to pick and choose. You're not God. You don't know more than God. You study this book. You read this book. You obey this book. Adam thought he would make a decision. I'll just disobey this one little command, and it wrecked his life. We need to obey this book. Every decision is important. Let me give you another example. I want you to remember Lot. Lot made a decision. His decision was a simple one, a decision that all of us have made some many times in our lives. Lot made the decision where he was going to live. You know the story. The Bible says that Lot was Abraham's nephew, and they both had large herds, and the land that they were living together in was not able to support both of their herds of animals. And so Abraham came to Lot and said, Lot, it's not good that our people that are keeping our animals are fighting with each other over who's going to get the grass. We need to separate. You pick which way you want to go. I'll go the other way and we can have peace in our family. So Abraham took the initiative with Lot, and all Lot had to decide was where he was going to live. I mean, all of us have made that decision at least one time in our life. We've made the decision where we're going to live. And so Lot looked around. He looked in one direction, and it was desert. It was wilderness. It was barren. He looked in the other direction, and he saw a well-watered plain where crops would grow. There was a couple cities there, Sodom and Gomorrah. But he looked. His uncle had told him to pick. He looked over there and said, well, it's not going to be very easy to make a living over here. It's not going to be much fun. I have to work really hard if I move this direction. But if I... if I move in this direction, it'll be easy to make a living. There's cities there. I won't have to work very hard. I can have some fun. And so he told Uncle Abraham, I'll choose this. I'll live over here. Now, that little decision of where he was going to live cost him everything. That's the city that he moved into, Sodom, was destroyed. He lost his home. He lost some of his daughters and his sons-in-law. He lost his wife. He lost his wealth. He lost his morals. He ended up committed incest with his other two daughters. Lot was a saved person. The Bible talks about his righteous soul. But it says in the book of 2 Peter that his soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Listen, the decision that you make where to live is not a simple little decision. Your decision on where to live ought to be made after you consult with God through prayer and get his guidance. The decision on where you live ought not to be made based on your employer. It ought not to be based on your family. It ought not to be based on your convenience. You ought to live where God tells you where to live. It's not a little decision. It's a big decision. And that decision not only affects you, but it affects those that are around you. Say, preacher, I've already decided where to live. Good. But if you ever have a chance again, don't do it for the reasons the world do it. Do it because God tells you that's where he wants you to live. No decision is a small decision. Let me give you another example. David made a decision one day. Wasn't a big one. He just decided he was going to stay home. That's what he decided. The Bible says that it was time for kings to go forth to war, but David abode at home. He said, hey, I've got this army. They're a mean machine. Joab's a good general. He knows what to do. They don't need me today. I'll just stay home. It's more comfortable. I don't have to get out. Maybe he had a little headache. Maybe there was something. Maybe he had a little backache. I don't know. Whatever the reason, he made a simple decision. He said, I'm just going to stay home. You know what happened? When he was home, he went up on the roof. He saw a woman bathing. He lusted. He coveted. He committed adultery. He ended up committing murder. His family paid for it. One of his daughters was raped by one of her half-brothers, and her brother killed the half-brother. And then the brother that killed the half-brother revolted against his dad and drove him out of Jerusalem. All because David made a little simple decision. One day he said, I'm not going to go where I'm supposed to go. I'm just going to stay home today. And it changed the course of his life, and it changed the life of his family, that one little simple decision to stay home instead of going where he was supposed to be. Now, if I haven't stepped on your toes yet, I'm about to do it. When you get to thinking about whether you're going to come to church tonight or on a Wednesday night, where you're supposed to be, by the way, and you decide, well, I don't feel very well, or I've got something to do, and you decide not to come, realize that that little simple decision to stay home may be a costly one. The service that you miss may be the service where somebody you love decides to receive Jesus as their Savior. And if they're not here, they can't do it. It may be the service where God calls somebody you love or you yourself into service. And if you're not here and they're not here, God can't do it. It may be a service where through a song or through fellowship or through something that's said in the sermon, God reveals a truth to you that will change your life. And because you're not here, you're going to miss it. There are no little decisions. There are no simple decisions. Let me give you another example. Let me give you an example of a son who made a decision. Now, I wouldn't call his decision a little decision or a simple decision. He made a big decision. He decided that he was grown. He knew more than his dad did. There was no reason for him to listen to dad anymore. And so he went to dad and said, I want my part of the inheritance. I want what's mine. Now, again, as we read the story, it's not in there, but I believe that dad just didn't say, okay, here's your part of the inheritance. Have a good time. I believe that dad begged his son. I believe that dad pleaded with his son to stay at home. I believe that dad got down on his knees and implored his son, don't leave. Please stay here. I need you here. Don't leave. Well, again, that son decided he knew more than dad, that he didn't need dad's counsel. He didn't need to stay in God's presence. So he took his part of the inheritance. He went into a far country and he lost everything. He lost the friends that his inheritance had bought him. He lost his inheritance. He lost his pride. He ended up in a pig pen feeding pigs. And for a Jew, that was a big step down. And I know there's some teenagers in this room this morning. You think it's just a little decision, a simple decision to disobey mom and dad. They're old-fashioned. The world that they lived in, it was nowhere near the world that you live in. You face things they never faced. They don't know as much as you know. And you can make the decisions yourself. You listen to me. That little decision can wreck your life. When the Bible says, children, obey your parents, there is not an age limit. If you're still living in their house, eating their food, sleeping in their bed, you owe them your obedience. It's what God says, not what this preacher says, what God says. There are no little decisions. And I dare say that your mom and dad know a heap more than you do. Let me give you another example. One more. There were two men that hung on crosses beside the cross of Christ. Those two men heard the same gracious words that came from the mouth of Christ as he was being crucified. Those two men saw the same love and compassion that Jesus had on his enemies as they nailed him to the cross. They both watched as he died. One of them rejected and railed on him. They said, hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you prove that you're the Son of God? You come down from the cross, save yourself, and save us. The other one said, don't you fear, he said to the other thief that had just railed on Jesus, he said, don't you fear God? Don't you fear God? We're here because we deserve it. He's done nothing to deserve hanging on this cross. And that thief looked at Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked back at that one and said, today you will be with me in paradise. They both made a decision. One, a little decision. One of them rejected Christ and he's in hell this morning. The other one asked Jesus to remember him. And he's in heaven this morning. You know, the Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that sin has a penalty associated with it, a wage. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Like Adam, when he ate the fruit in the garden, when he disobeyed God, he died spiritually. He was separated from God. He was kicked out of the garden. He died because he was separated from his creator, his God. That's the wage of sin. And as sinners, there's nothing we can do to pay for that sin except suffer the separation that God says is the penalty. We're separated from God when we live in this world. We're going to be separated from him when we go out into eternity because of our sin. And there's absolutely nothing on our own that we can do to fix it. But praise God. This is the good news of the Bible. This is the gospel of the Bible. What we could not do for ourselves, God did for us. He sent his Son, perfect and sinless, to live among mankind. And he lived among us for 33 some years without sin. Tempted in all points like as we, the Bible says, yet without sin. And then God allowed mankind to take his perfect, sinless Son and nail him to a cross. And on that cross, Jesus paid for my sin. And he paid for your sin. Every one of them, every one of our sins, the sins of every person, paid for in full by Christ on Calvary. And the Bible says that if we will believe that and then receive it for ourselves, we can be saved from the penalty of our sin and become a child of God. A child of God. Now, there's some here this morning, you're going to make that decision. Vast majority of people here have already made the decision. They've decided to receive Christ. They have the blessed assurance that John talked about. They can call heaven home, as Brother Wendell sang about, because they have made the decision to receive Jesus. But there's a few that are here this morning that haven't made that decision. You say, "Preacher, I'm not ready to make it this morning." Well, sorry, you're going to make it one way or the other. You're either going to decide for Christ or you're going to decide against him. No, I'm not going to decide against him. Yeah, Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. And if you walk out without receiving Christ, you have decided to reject him. That's not a little decision. It's a decision that will affect not only the rest of your life on this earth, but your life in eternity. If you're here today, I would encourage you to receive Christ. Make that decision for him. Ethan Allen, he was a furniture guy, had furniture stores. I read his testimony. He said, "My wife, as a young lady, was a Christian. Went to church every Sunday, read the Bible, believed the Bible. He said, when I was growing up, I was an infidel. I wanted nothing to do with God. I wanted nothing to do with church. I didn't want anything to do with her religion. We got married. We had a little girl. When she was little, our daughter, who we loved, we both loved dearly, when she was little, our daughter went to church with my wife. She went every week. Went to Sunday school. Her Sunday school teachers taught her the Bible. She loved to sing Sunday school songs. She looked forward to going to church. When she became a teenager, Mr. Allen said, I decided to show her the other side of life. And so I began to take her to places I went, the places of sin. And pretty soon, my daughter lost her desire to go to church. A few months later, she got pneumonia. She was dying from pneumonia. Her father went into her bedroom, to visit with her, and it would turn out to be the last visit that he had with her. And he sat in a chair beside her bed, and mustering all the strength that she could, his daughter said, Daddy, I want you to tell me which way is right. Is it Mama's way or your way? Which one is right? I have to know. And Mr. Allen gave his testimony. He said, I fell to my knees. Tears ran down my cheeks. And I said to my little girl, you choose your mother's way. Your mother's way is right. His daughter never spoke another word. Of course, you can't go through something like that without realizing that there is a God. And Mr. Allen got saved, but as he gave his testimony down through the years, he always ended it by saying, I don't know if my daughter is in heaven or not. I have to wait till I get there to see if she made it. If she made it, it was because of the decision that she made when she went with her mom, and not the decision that she made when she went with me. Every decision we make affects the life of somebody else. If you don't make the right decision for your own sake, make the right decision for those that live around you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these examples that you've given us in the Bible that remind us that no decision is small. Every decision we make affects us, affects the life of those around us. I pray that we'd make those decisions that would be pleasing to you. I know, Father, that the decision that some people can make this morning to receive Christ as their Savior would be pleasing to you, because that's your desire. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. And so I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus, you'd help them make that decision to receive him this morning. And then the Christians that are here, help us to realize that we need to live by the Bible. That when we make decisions about where we're going to live and what we're going to do and different things like that, that all of them can be life-changing ones. And we need to come to you and get your direction and get your guidance before we make them. And then again, Father, the most important decision that we can make is to receive Jesus. We as Christians rejoice that when we were in that valley of decision, deciding what to do for him, we received him. And again, Father, help those that don't know him to make that decision this morning. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.